Judah and Matthew are dumpster people, and they occasionally use foul and inappropriate language. Listen at your own risk.
They're the guys who know just what you wanna hear. These blogs are updated just 5 times every year. It's the show. And Dusty wrote to them from jail and said it's great. Now it's time for Brother Date.
Welcome to Brother Date. I'm Matthew.
Yeah, I'm Judah.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's parting time. How about that?
That's, again...
just for you.
90% sure that's the reason Katie and I are separated.
That's all?
Yeah, because if I ever heard someone say, it's blank time,
you think it's
just on. It's on to the races.
It's on like all the platters are on.
Like, I didn't usually sing it so pretty.
Well, no one can sing it as pretty as the platters. Yeah. But I made an effort. This is not...
It's Odin's Day.
It is Odin's Day. It's also, hold on a second. Just checking here.
He gets a whole day.
It's also, not 17th. Come on, Wikipedia. Are you serious right now? Are you being super serious? All right. Well, I don't know what other days it is.
Oh, I see. You wanted to go to on this day.
Yeah, I blew it.
But Wikipedia flipped over like an hour and a half ago.
It's so. Marmoset Day. I know that for a fact.
It's completely not true.
No. I believe that that is true, and because I believe it, it is true. So there you go.
Okay. It's,
not important, because Wang Mong consolidated his power and declared Marshal of State.
That is important, for sure. It's, Bennington Battle Day in Vermont. It's Children's Day in Paraguay.
It's Children's Day every day, somewhere.
It's the feast day of Diomedes of Tarsus.
Oh, that's when Diomedes got eaten.
It's Gozan no Okuribi in Kyoto. I don't know what that means. I hope it's not bad.
Gozan?
It's the culmination of the Obon Festival, in which 5 giant bonfires are lit on mountains surrounding the city.
Hold on.
There you go. It's National Airborne Day in the United States. That's when we celebrate the vitamin C tablets that don't make you not get sick.
Yeah, that's right. They work 0% of the time and don't do anything. Right. That's cool.
And Restoration Day in the Dominican Republic. It's when they got their painting restored.
That's right. And it was beautiful because it's a painting of a guy getting arrested. And that is a wonderful painting.
But then Lovejoy stole it or something?
Yeah, Lovejoy was all up in that business.
Was he a thief or did he fight thieves?
He was all up in that business. And then he was in season 6 of Game of Thrones.
Matt,
so...
what is Lovejoy?
What is it?
I don't remember.
Lovejoy was a detective?
Was he...
private investigator?
But he was a painting detective, right?
He
detected famous paintings.
You know, father watched a lot of those shows, and I did my very best to not watch them. It says it's a comedy drama mystery series. Were you aware there was comedy in it?
I like that Ian McShane.
I love him. And like I said, he is going to appear in the Game of Thrones. You're watching the Game of Thrones now, and he will be in one of the seasons of that. You will see.
Yeah, I will never get to season 6. I have to read ahead of what the next episode's going to be.
In order to determine whether or not you're going to continue?
No, I want to have read it right before I watch it.
Oh, you're reading the books again, too. Right,
yeah.
Right.
So that's why I've seen 2 whole eps.
Yeah, dude, he's a less than scrupulous, yet likable rogue antique dealer. So you were very close.
What does it mean to be a rogue antique dealer?
It means a lot. I'm trying to think of a situation where that might apply.
Yeah, let's just get right into it.
You Lovejoy would frequently break the fourth wall. Maybe that's what made him so roguish. That sounds terrible.
That doesn't sound good.
Oh, it concluded with a 2-part special. That's
important. I have been watching a show called Father Brown, the Father Brown Mysteries, or whatever. It's one of those BBCs.
Is it about somebody's nice
Peterson,
dad?
It's got Peterson from Red Dwarf as a priest who solves mysteries.
Hmm.
Or you may know him as Harry Potter's dad. No, you probably know him best as Peterson.
I know him as Peterson. Yeah. Olaf Peterson?
Not Harry Potter's dad, but I meant Ron Weasley's dad in Harry Potter. Yes, Olaf Peterson, a Danish moron.
Yes. So it's about somebody's nice dad? Father
Basically,
Brown?
Yeah, he's a nice priest who...
he's a priest.
Who solves crimes. He's a Catholic priest who solves crimes in England.
That sounds...
It's not very interesting. It's not very good.
Sounds exciting.
I've watched 4 episodes, and Netflix keeps being like, hey, you ready for number 5 yet? And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I started to watch... Like, 3 months ago, I started to watch Turn, about George Washington's spy ring. But
I've literally never heard of that.
It's on like AMC. I want to say it's on. Yeah, I want to say it's on that. I've got like 3 episodes in and I have never been back to it. I can't. But it keeps showing up. Netflix keeps going, hey, remember you were watching Turn? Remember how super good it was? And I'm like, yeah, no, it wasn't though. It wasn't that good.
The other thing, Netflix likes to taunt me. I put on a Jeff Dunham special in the middle of the night. Specifically to see how far into it I could go. Here's a hint. I didn't get to the puppets.
Well, that's good to know. You should never get to the puppets.
For some reason, he did just 20 minutes of bad stand-up about Priuses are gay. It's not like a real recent Jeff Dunham special.
I was going to say.
He did like 20 minutes about Priuses being very homosexual. And then I was like, well, this was a big waste of my time.
Yeah. That was after he did 30 minutes on how gang members like the El Camino. It was just all about cars.
Yeah, it was mostly car-based.
Yeah.
he brings those racist puppets out eventually, but first he's going to talk about cars for a long time. It's the price you pay.
He's a gearhead. We all know it. You know that's the price of admission, is you're going to get a lot of car talk.
Yep. Before you get to your favorite racist puppets, you have to sit through a lot of... carburetors. Listen, it's a mailbag week.
Yeah, it's not a Star Trek week, everybody. Now, if the mailbag questions are about Star Trek, that can't be helped. But yeah. We will do our best not to just spin off and do 3 more hours on Star Trek.
There are
difficult.
A bunch from Ryan and a few from Ben.
Okay.
Start with Ryan on August 3rd saying, at brother date. It's not the most important leadership trait, but confidence is definitely helpful. Matt, any idea what that was in reference to?
Well, so he's pretty far behind.
Yeah, I think so too.
He might have been hearing the week in the Star Trek week where I had something about leadership was like the take in 3 of the episodes or something. So I think he was that Dalrock week?
Oh, man, could he be all the way back at the storyteller?
Yeah, he's way behind. I know he's behind.
That I mean, I know it was, but that feels like that wasn't even this year.
I know, yes. It does feel like I mean, it was a different calendar year.
For sure,
year.
It definitely was, but it feels like it wasn't.
What month did we start the Star Trek project?
That's a good question. Remember. I think the first episode is called Shatner Eyes.
That's a good one.
I think that was it. I think you named it that.
That was a good one.
So...
Yeah, I don't know. iTunes would tell me, but that's... I have to open up iTunes, and then...
Nah, the store page will tell me.
It'd be open.
No, because before that was Chula. Riker Psychology.
That's pretty early.
Pan-fied catfish. Why did they write this, though? Less than Jake.
Well, Less than Jake's gotta be a Star Trek week.
Yeah, would have been... 14 campaigns together, the return of Empress Keiko. Did we start this real early? Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I'm
going the wrong way, dude. I was going to say, I recognize those.
Okay.
Shatner Eyes. The other way, Shatner Eyes.
Coming back from Shatner Eyes, which was episode 35. We then had Keep Off the Grass. Okay, P for
Picard.
Oh,
that's like episode 7, dude. Yeah.
Legbrook on the Overside.
Oh, yeah.
Sir Mac Wren. Troy's a No Good Bee.
Okay, that wasn't so
Vulcan
clever.
Donger songs. And Operation Serpentine, definitely the first one. Because 2 weeks before that was The Legend of Fitz Hill. So,
that's right.
September 21st is when we started this, dumb shit. So we're coming up on a year.
Some of them were in calendar 2016, but not the Dalrock episode.
Yeah, the last one from calendar 2016 was Leg Broke on the Overside.
Okay. All right. Okay. So yeah, he's way behind. That's what I gathered from that comment.
Woo!
Sometimes Ryan doesn't have questions, he just has comments. Which is fine. As long as it's something for us to really sink our teeth into, and that was not one of those things.
On August 4th, Ben wrote, at Brother Date, for no towel lint, look no further than old cheap towels.
Well,
half of them shits are worn through, but they're hard with no lint.
But I feel like I have old cheap towels, and I don't like them.
But also, what is he proposing? Do you go to Goodwill and say, do you have any old, almost worn-out towels?
Where do you keep your oldest towels? I know you have them sorted in order of old to new, and where is the old section?
How do you get a new, old, cheap towel?
I don't know. Is this the kind of the way how, like, Bill McNeil would age those sandwiches? so that it would be like the ones his mom used to make for him, where he'd, like... Oh, I know what happened. Beth taped the sandwiches to the top of her car and drove into work, and that way Bill would think the sandwiches were old. That's just a little bit of news radio for everybody. So, something like that?
It's going to be our next project when we finish Star Trek is it's going to be news radio.
Say it.
Versus Alf.
And Wings.
Versus Wings.
Wings has got to be in there.
You've never watched Wings.
No, it'll be exciting for me. It'll be like, okay. I'll get to go through it for a project reason.
You're going to be like, is that Monk? From Monk?
I knew Monk was on Wings because I used to play it on USA at like 11 in the morning.
All the time, dog. It was the only thing they ever played on USA. At Brother Date, Ben writes, apparently you can now catch Kabaddi on ESPN8.
No.
The Ocho.
Oh, okay, I get it. It's a joke. You can't watch Kabaddi, 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 Kabaddi on TV.
Nope, you cannot.
But you can watch it on TV in India, right?
Yeah,
that's
where
you've seen it. Right, okay. I heard somebody talking about it.
I was extremely tired. I was sitting in the hotel restaurant, drinking a Kingfisher, which seems to be the only beer they have in India.
It's Amos and Andy theme.
That's not true. They just got Miller, and they're pretty excited about it.
Oh, nice.
Drinking a Kingfisher, just staring at this TV screen, very tired, just trying to figure out what was happening.
Kind of not sure if it really was happening?
Yeah, or maybe it wasn't. But
like the time you got baby pranked?
Like the time I got baby pranked. on August 13th, Ben writes, at Brother Date, maybe the resurgent popularity of Voyager DS9 Enterprise are due to many fools like us going back and getting completionist about Star Trek. No one is as foolish as us.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone. I looked
around.
This is
the stupidest thing anyone has ever attempted.
It's really dumb, and it's really dumb to think of how far we have to go.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When you think about it that way, you just go, we've been doing this almost a calendar year?
Oh, yeah, do you mean we have more than 150 weeks?
Hold on, let me think about this.
Which, even if we did it every 2 weeks, would be 6 years.
Let me think about this. Did you say we started in September?
Yes.
So we've been doing this for 11 months?
Uh-huh.
And almost. We're only through 19 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, if we were...
What did we do?
If we were on a perfect schedule, we'd get through 26 in a year.
But we're going to get through, like, what, 21 or something?
Guess how many episodes 22. Are in a season of The Next Generation.
More than that!
Did you guess that it was 26? Because it is. So, we did start a project that is a minimum of 7 years, and every time we miss a week, we're pushing it out.
Oh, fuck. Alright, sorry, everybody. We're talking Star Trek so much already. Oh, boy. It's very stressful to think about.
Well, Ben talked about Star Trek, so his fault.
Stressful to think about. Okay, so I think we talked about this a little. That, yeah, I think them being in streaming helps. Like, sometimes people are just like, I don't know, I just want to kill some hours here. Yeah, I'll watch 7 seasons of Deep Space Nine. Although, I find it hard to believe anyone gets through it.
I would have stopped.
Watching season one has been a real problem.
I would have stopped at the same place I stopped before.
Yeah.
When Q-Less finished and the next episode was Dax, I would have said, no.
Like, there's no hope. There's nothing on the horizon that says this is going to turn around.
I've seen enough of Dax in these first five episodes to know I don't want to watch Dax.
Yep. Again, it's like when the... no matter who is on the Deep Space Nine Netflix teaser image for the next episode, you go, no. Don't want it. Oh, it's Quark? Yeah, no thanks. I'm good.
Yeah, what is it for next week? Who's on the teaser?
I'm not even going to try to remember it right now. I'm not worried about it. Because I don't have a choice. I have to watch it.
It's Rom and Quark. Quark looks like he's holding up about six bars of gold pressed latinum.
Great. So it's going to be about money. Frankie stuff?
Yeah, when you contrast that to Dusty Picard in a cave next to half-buried Beverly.
Yeah!
Or Kirk in a dress uniform standing trial.
I'm into it. You're looking at all the images.
Oh, boy. It looks like Harry Kim is going to get kissed by a lady, so that can't be right.
Oh, damn it.
And Archer is maybe looking at himself in the mirror, or maybe that's Trip. I don't know. They kind of have the same hair.
Awesome.
One of them's back of one of them.
That's a really good teaser image.
It's not a great image.
These two guys are in the show.
Yeah. That is rough. I feel like if I'd be like, I remember DS9, sort of fondly. Maybe I'll try that out. I would have gotten a couple episodes in and gone, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, I was 12.
And I will say, as bad as Voyager is, it is easier to watch.
It's a lot easier to watch.
I don't know all the reasons. They're probably in the many hours of content that we have already put up. But there is something that is so unwatchable about Deep Space Nine. But maybe it's turning around.
Is it because Janeway kind of seems like a Federation officer, whereas no one on Deep Space Nine does?
Maybe it's because the things that happen to the ship seem like they happen for a reason, even if you think it's a stupid reason. But like on DS9, what's the deal? Why is that place cursed?
It's a very good question.
Why there's everything comes to that station? It's not moving.
Well, it's because it's right near that wormhole.
Yeah, well,
you know,
they should close it.
The biggest mistake that they made in Deep Space Nine.
Yes, they should close that wormhole, I think. Not just for the station, but for plot reasons.
That was my hot take before we started watching it this time, and I stand by it.
Yep. But look, it's starting to turn around. The last two episodes were better.
5 hours ago, Ryan wrote to tell us that he was going to send us some mail, so...
Good.
He says he's 3 months behind.
Ah, there you go. See, he told you. Yeah, I knew he was pretty significantly behind.
Yeah.
That's it?
At Brother Date, I feel like Rosie is the only Silverchair fan I know. It's cool. Rosie, definitely not a listener, but I do know that person.
If she is, we've never heard from her.
If she is, she's keeping it on the down low, and that's probably appropriate.
That is a safe thing to do.
I wouldn't let people know I listen to this show.
They did that Tomorrow song? Silverchair? They did Freak? They did Freak. That's it.
You know two Silverchair songs?
Yeah!
Baffling.
It's pretty good, right?
When you said Tomorrow, I was just whatever that Pearl Jam song is that has Tomorrow in it so prominently came into my head.
That one is, which one's that?
Just
making a lot of noises.
Hold on. If I knew the name of it, I wouldn't have said that.
Well, I couldn't even remember which one that was supposed to be. Like, I don't know which one that is. That says Tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know, everybody.
Oh. Well, that's because I'm thinking of Plush by Stone Temple Pilots.
Ah, it's a different band.
Yeah.
Yeah, Plush. Yeah. I like Plush. I know that one.
Which I found, by the way, by Googling Pearl Jam Tomorrow.
Boy, that's exactly what I Googled, and the first two things that came up were Stone Temple Pilots, and I went, well, this isn't helping. I was like, shut up, Google, you're not helping.
Except that the lyrics that are in the thumbnail for that video are the lyrics I was thinking of.
Good. There you go. Well, figured it out. Yeah, dog. two Woo. Silverchair songs. Because
that's rough.
They
that's too much Silverchair knowledge.
Were around when KOME was on. They were on KOME.
Ah, brother date.
Oh, good. There's more. Thank God.
So you're telling me that Worf is the single most developed character in Star Trek? Now, bear in mind, he's 3 months back.
Wait, were we not saying that sarcastically already? Like no crap? Like, because, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he's been in it a million percent more than the other people. That's about approximately.
That's even at the point we're at now.
Yeah.
If we had never seen any other Star Trek, and we just saw the first 19 episodes of these 5 series, Worf is 100% the best developed character.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you know about Picard? He lost his old ship. He doesn't like kids.
He doesn't like kids. He knew Wesley's father. I could say it creepier, but he knew Wesley's father.
I knew your father.
I'm good at this. He probably has the hots for Crusher.
He's French, even though he doesn't talk like it.
He loves France so much, but he doesn't speak French except for like a few words here and there when they are real desperate.
He likes Dixon Hill.
Dixon Hill. He was super boned out by Geordi's technology demonstrator.
Yeah.
So he loves new tech. Yeah, that's not much, I guess.
What do you know about Kirk? He used to teach at the Academy.
Yeah, but the things I know about Kirk never make any sense. I was just like, wait, what? When did he teach at the Academy? And he lived on that planet with Kolarth the Terrible or whatever his name was.
Kodos the Executioner.
Thank you.
It's literally Kodos, like in The Simpsons.
Sorry, Kodos the Executioner. So he was for some reason around when that shit was going on. His backstory is so random. Ruth, don't forget.
We know about Ruth,
and that he dated Irish guy,
real weird. That and Irish, Finnegan used to beat him up.
That Irish guy used to fight at the Academy.
Yeah, he had a bully at Starfleet Academy. That bully passed the psych test.
I wonder if they had that back then.
They probably didn't. It was probably just someone standing at the door going, "You're white."
That's right. Yeah, you're in. No, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Worf, I think, wins. I think based on the backstory that we got from Worf last week, Worf's the winner, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Plus, we know his greatest enemy is asking people for help.
That's right.
Relying on people.
He's afeard to do it.
Yeah. I think in the totality of Star Trek, when you throw all of Star Trek into the hopper, the only person who, or the second closest person, it's still Worf. It's still Worf by far. But the second closest person, I think, is Spock. Because he goes through a lot of stuff in the movies.
Yeah, the movies are mainly Spock's story.
Yeah. And we also get to see him in Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and we get to learn way more about him and his father and shit.
Yeah, so
that's it's all new.
He's second most, and then I think third most is Sarek.
It could be. Yeah, Spock's dad. Just because of his relation to Spock, yes. Yeah, that could be. Illogical, dude.
What do you know about Sisko? Like, he met his wife on the beach.
He met her on the beach.
He doesn't want to be there, and he hates Picard.
They were wearing some fucking corny-ass beachwear, too.
He likes baseball.
He likes baseball. He's a mean dad sometimes. But sometimes he's a nice dad. He's got both
real duality.
Sides. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't really want to be there or do his job. And actually, he'll refuse if you ask him to. He won't do it.
It'll become your job.
It's definitely your. If you bring something to his attention, it's now your job. Yeah, that's it. So yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, it's Worf.
That's what we're saying.
And it's just going to keep being Worf. We're going to meet Worf's parents. We're going to meet Worf's brother.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to meet Worf's wife. We're going to meet Worf's son.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to meet Worf's son as an old man.
Mm-hmm. We're also going to meet him as a 20-year-old or something.
Right. As a 20-year-old. We're going to see Worf get married.
Uh-huh.
Twice.
He
takes the vows.
Yeah, he takes the vows.
With Kalar.
Does she say anything?
I don't remember.
Okay, all right.
That's a delightful scene we'll get to in about a year.
We will get to it eventually.
A year and a half? 2 years?
Stop it. Stop. Stressing me out.
We see Worf's grandfather.
Yeah, we do.
The entire Klingon Civil War... Oh, we of course, Worf's other brother.
Yep.
Yes. We know all about Worf.
His fucking
We learn
nanny.
Everything about Worf that there is to learn.
Yeah.
We do. We do meet his nanny.
Everything. Everything that is Worf-related.
We know about Worf's religion.
Uh-huh.
No other character in Star Trek has religion. Worf does.
He's got it bad, too.
I mean, I guess Kira does, but whatever.
He fucking goes to fucking monasteries and fucking tokes up and all kinds of shit.
We see the Klingon Jesus figure. We see the Klingon devil. Both because of Worf, basically. So, I mean...
It's no joke, dude. We see all of his holodeck programs. We see his Bat'leth tournament trophies. We
learn all about his struggles parenting.
We know what sex is now.
But it
has no place in his world or whatever. Good old Geordi.
Worf. Is that sex?
It's like, Geordi, one, play it cool. Like, act like you've been there a little
bit.
Is that what
you call sex? Jesus, Geordi.
And just like, you don't need to keep piling on. There is already a half-naked Klingon lady on the bridge. Like, let's all just... I would definitely be retreating into the back corner.
Yeah.
Being like, oh boy. Oh, we already talked about this.
Go sit in Picard's ready room for a little bit. I have to walk past that lady to get to the observation lounge. So.
We already talked about what it's like if you're one of the lower decks, one of the crewmen, like working one of those science stations back there or something. And you're like, oh boy, they're doing it again.
We see Worf's childhood pet.
We get it all.
There's nothing. We learn about Klingon bar mitzvahs,
Klingon opera.
The Klingon opera, Klingon death rituals.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see
Klingon pain sticks, dude. The rite of ascension.
Life. Yes.
Yeah.
We know what they think about beards. We know what they think about women.
Mm-hmm. Poetry, all that stuff.
Yes.
Throwing heavy objects. We know that he will accept responsibility for tucking Wesley in at night.
That's right. He's 100% the most developed character in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. He's the only character for which they even made an attempt, really.
Yep. And yet, it was not enough for Michael Dorn. Not enough.
Really like to... There's a lot more of Worf out there to explore.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty sure. 3 hours ago, Ryan wrote in, at Brother Date. Wait, so is this Motown or Star Trek?
Take your pick!
Dog, it is both.
That's right. Look, that would be my favorite podcast if I wasn't tasked with creating it. If I could just listen to the Motown Star Trek podcast, that's what I would listen to. But it didn't exist, so I had to make it. I'm a creator, and I bring things into the world. So it's easy to criticize, but what have you made?
Next week on Motown
Fucking
Star
zucchini
Trek,
or something.
We are watching Relics and listening to You Can't Hurry Love.
Oh, man. We're never going to get to Relics.
Yeah.
0% chance.
We know what Mark Twain thinks about Worf.
Yeah, that he's a werewolf, but it's not that big a deal.
But it's okay.
It's okay. Everyone's got a werewolf in space, he assumes. Did we go back in the mailbag? Because I know we missed the last mailbag. Did we go back far enough? I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, shit, did we not?
Because remember, I had some stupid-ass internet issues and cut off the episode halfway through and we didn't get to mailbag.
Right.
But I remember there wasn't much in it. Thanks, everybody. Hmm.
On the 27th, Ryan wrote, okay, I'm back, which apparently was not true.
It took him a little while to come back.
And then, at Brother Date, hell, even Ben would take a good spreadsheet over Ben.
I guess at one point one of us slammed Ben and said that we'd rather have the spreadsheet?
I guess so. did we get to the point where Ben said David Bowie did it better than the Stones? Because I was not sure what that meant at all.
We were talking about Let's Spend the Night Together, and there is a not good David Bowie cover of that.
God, is that true?
It is really bad. You know it's bad because Marjan says it's bad.
Oh, it would have to be pretty bad for that.
Loves Bowie. So much that her all-time Halloween costume that she'll never get to make but always wants to make it is that she be Mick Jagger and I be David Bowie and we do Dancing in the Streets.
I thought you guys did that one already.
No, but she's never been able to put it together because David Bowie is wearing this horrible, like, weird animal pattern 80s suit that she can't find. She's probably going to have to get somebody to make it for her if she ever wants to get it done.
Yeah, they're both dressed pretty bad. And everything else about that is also bad.
Everything about it is horrible. It would be a good costume. Yeah, for Mick Jagger, it's easy. You just have to find, like, a... Oh, no. Hey, it's H. John Benjamin!
Yes.
Oh, what are we even doing? Oh,
is this from Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I was gonna say, I think Meatloaf's gonna appear in this. Oh, that's jarring. Wow.
God.
So, is Ben saying that David Bowie did it better?
I mean, his literal statement is David Bowie did it better than the Stones.
Did he just want to point out that he knew that David Bowie had done it? Because there's no way someone could think this was better.
Oh, he's going to do this part too.
That's
vomit.
That was so jarring.
It's extremely bad.
I know I always say don't just do a straight cover of a song that you like, because you're not going to do... You like it for a reason, because they did a good job. You're not going to do it as good. But the choices he made were so terrible.
He leaves that song so empty.
Why did he feel the need to change, like, the cadence? Like, why did he... Let's spend the night together!
Fucking weird music hall piano.
I know. No, you're totally right. It sounds like every Meatloaf song. Together? Than ever?
I think David Bowie ruined that song for me.
Now even
I don't even like that version now.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago when it was... Was it on the... Was it actually on the list, or was it
No, it didn't make it didn't make the top 10, but it was in the initial list.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's tough.
Look, the Rolling Stones are hard to listen to because you know there's a better version of that song in there.
Yes, but not in David Bowie, apparently.
But he did not... He didn't find it.
Yes, that's right.
What if I emphasized the piano and de-emphasized the guitars and made it faster and sang all of the lines in half the time so that half the song is empty and
exactly
you're just
correct.
Listening to the piano?
Yeah, the song's not actually going any faster, but I'm saying all the words faster.
That was not good.
Yeah. Again, you knew it was bad when Marjan... I think I told her what that comment was or something, and she's like, oh, yeah, that is not true.
Yeah. That was rough.
So what the hell, Ben?
Rough and bad and hard to listen to.
The spreadsheet wouldn't have said that, for sure. The spreadsheet would have been true.
That's right. The spreadsheet wouldn't have let us down like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I do think we said got as far back as don't forget 311 from Marjan.
Yeah, I think we covered that.
And that's because amber is the color for energy.
Right? Yep. And that's not at all because she was drunk when she wrote that.
Okay. Oh, she had half a glass of something?
She had like half a PBR, and then she went back to lab and penned that beautiful tweet.
Don't forget about 311.
Yeah, I wish I could. Believe me. I wish I could forget about
that. And that the number one item on her California bucket list is to hang out at the tracks at Christie Row.
That's right. I haven't done that yet. There's no good way to do it. It's not near anything.
Yeah.
Martinez, not near anything.
Yeah, like, you're making a day trip to do that activity.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, on the way back you can swing by the parts of the East Bay that there are things in, but it's not particularly close to that. Ugh. Bleh.
Doug, why were you trying to push Game of Thrones on me? It seems like there's something very exciting that you're dying to tell me, but...
No, not at all. It's just that it's on right now. It's in season.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So I'm watching it currently, like, and I have to watch it the old school way, a week at a time. So there's lots of time to think about what they might be planning to do, because now they're off book, and they've been off book for a couple of years, so no one really knows what the TV writers are planning. So, you know, it's got that same kind of old TV speculation where you have to wait a week and you sit there going, I don't know what's going to happen with what's his name or whatever.
It is definitely the case that there is a recurring meeting on my calendar, my work calendar, at 11:45 every Monday called Tyrion's Council.
Oh, gosh.
Someone invited the whole company. Like, hey, you guys want to... I'll just put this on everybody's calendar. We can talk about Game of Thrones.
How many people are in this company now?
I probably went to 150 people.
Yeah, that is insane. That, by the way, it's the kind of self-confidence I'll never have.
Yeah, well, it's probably Mark Knopfler.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he puts a lot of meetings on my calendar, too. There's one we do where we talk about headbands.
Yep.
Which is a really important one.
He put a meeting on my calendar to talk about the song On Every Street. I would be like, dog, that's too late. No one wants to talk about On Every Street.
Yeah. You blew it.
Industrial Disease and Earlier Only.
Yeah. There's one where you just... It's just a discussion of how you can have a cooler American-style voice. How you can make your voice more American. And, yeah, he's a troll, dude. He'll just fucking put meetings on your calendar all day. He doesn't care what else you have scheduled. He doesn't check the schedule assistant, dude. He just goes, oh, he's probably free. Well, I'm not. I got clients, Mark.
I watched about 100 very frustrating live Mark Knopfler videos on YouTube last week.
But why were you doing that?
I don't even remember.
I know you were doing it because we had the conversation about who dressed like John McEnroe first.
Right, so was it
John McEnroe, or was it Mark Knopfler?
Well, so here's what happened, is I went to watch Option 2
uh-huh.
for Fortress Around Your Heart by Sting.
Mm-hmm.
And then YouTube was like, hey.
You've seen that.
Hey, Sultans of Swing live, and I'm like, ooh, he is in a red Eddie Murphy-style outfit, but he's got headband on, and it looks like there's fog everywhere. And I clicked on it, And I sent that one to you because that video is kind of nuts for a couple of reasons. One, too much drops. You know, let me just load that up, this live performance.
Yeah, they for some reason, they're like, yeah, but live, really go after it. Like a completely different song. Like, drum to a different song.
But what's really frustrating about watching live Mark Knopfler videos is he doesn't play the album solos, the good ones from the album that you like.
Yeah, where he's picking the shit out of it, and you're like, oh yeah, man, pick it!
I mean, he's killing it. He'll play, like, weird little stuff that reminds you of that, but is unsatisfying.
Yeah, he's a real fucking tease.
Yeah.
He also doesn't sound as cool.
No, he also, like, omits a lot of words, and,
Something I never like criticizing people about, because I can't even play the guitar, and I can't even imagine how complicated it is to play a guitar and sing at the same time, and then to do it in front of a crowd. I feel really bad being like, they're not good live, because it's like, well, that sounds hard.
First of all, you may remember Sultans of Swing as a radio song.
Yes.
This video is 10 minutes and 47 seconds long.
That's good. I'm glad they jammed it out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. just as soon as I get through this Cheerios commercial.
What? That's the best part.
Oh, sorry. Cinnamon Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. It's, oh, boy. These drums are from an ABBA song. What's happening?
It kind of sounds like Sultan's a Swing.
His guitar sounded sick. Oh, okay. That is some real Petey Pablo delivery.
He Petey Pablo is there.
Seriously, what's up with the drums?
It's too much drums.
What's happening? Yeah, but the horns, they're blowing that sound, they're blowing. Way on down south. Way on down south. London town. Oh, this is the song you were thinking of.
It's not this song.
Like, I appreciate the drummer doing their best, but it's very distracting.
He's working so hard, and Mark Knopfler is going, like, roughly at one half. Like, I'll give you half the song.
Yeah, the balance is way off on that one.
You can have half of it. Don't worry. I don't know the name of the drummer from Dire Straits. He's making up for it.
Hey, do you suppose that Keith Richards was the first one to dress like John McEnroe?
Yes. Now that you mention it, Keith Richards is a very good poll.
Is he the winner? I'm trying to think.
You know what? Google will answer this. Who was the first person to dress like
John McEnroe? Okay, well, tell me what the first result is.
The first one that's remotely about his appearance is Shia LaBeouf as the splitting image of John McEnroe.
Well, he's not the first. Come on, Google.
Yeah.
No, they not, are they not wrong?
Not
though?
That much about his signature style.
Alright, then let me just look up. John McEnroe. Fashion. Image search. First picture. Just gonna copy that. I'm gonna just send it to you right now.
Boy, I can't wait. Boy, I just can't wait.
It says it is sending.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Right, yeah. It's a pod show. It's a pod show, everybody. Did you see the picture I sent, Judah?
It's a good picture.
It's pretty good.
I could make it the picture for this week, I guess.
Feel free. Is that a thing?
Yeah, you can add every episode gets a picture.
What?
It's just always the same picture.
Oh, well, this...
I just use the Brother Date logo.
This week you should spice it up and make it John McEnroe.
Keith Richards... Headband.
Oh, yeah.
Because headband is what we're talking about.
Keith Richards, headband origins.
Oh, well, why Keith Richards wears headband?
That's a good question. Why? Why Keith Richards wears headband?
This question was asked on some forum that I've never been to by SunnyBandYo99 on June 10th, 2006. Why Keith Richards wears headband?
And did anybody help
when
him?
When he doesn't have much hair?
Oh, well. When he doesn't have as much hair?
Everyone just makes fun of him.
Trying to see... I thought maybe Origins would give me the first time he ever wore it. Like, Google would know.
Keith Richards headband Origins.
I used a colon, too. I thought that would help. As if it was the subtitle of this particular headband.
When did he start wearing that headband?
It's important to know this, because if he started doing it after McEnroe, then, kill yourself.
I mean, really,
Keith.
Man, no, the internet has not addressed this topic at all.
I really am disappointed a lot that we across things the internet has not fully explored.
Who was the first person to dress like John McEnroe? Was it Keith Richards? Was it Mark Knopfler? Was it John McEnroe?
Please tell us. Please tweet. Join the conversation.
That's right.
Tweet us at Brotherly and tell us which one is your vote. And I'll reveal the winner next week.
Two great Brits and one one stylish American.
He was very stylish.
Oh, too much drums. Much drums in that 10-minute version of Sultans of Swing.
I sent you another picture. I know it's not good for the pod, but it was a good picture, so I sent it. I enjoyed it.
Is that Keith Richards with a top hat and an eye patch?
Yes, it is.
And a cigar. And a morning coat.
A morning kit. I call it a morning kit.
A morning kit, yes.
To rhyme with Connecticut.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good picture. Yeah. That's a good picture, though. Okay. All right.
Did you have something prepared? Did you want to do a thing this week?
Oh, fuck, did I?
I don't know, I'm just asking, because I thought you were about to jump into something, because you said, okay, like we were about to get into something. Nope, we weren't, no, there was nothing
I
to get into.
I don't remember
no, that's
wanting
fine.
To do anything. Oh, so I started talking about Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, Games of Thrones.
About the Game of Thrones, which I'm watching for the first time, because I read them.
Right. I read them as well, but after I had already seen, like, 3 or 4 seasons.
Right, and I didn't know... You know, after I read them, I'm like, I don't know, do I want to watch this stuff?
Right, it's pretty depressing.
I mean, it's depressing for sure, like, don't get attached to a character.
Yeah.
Or identify with a character, or anything like that. But then also, like, do I need to see all these rapes and murders?
Yeah.
It's the sort of the main activity that happens in Game of Thrones. And then on top of that, a lot of the dialogue he puts in characters' mouths is not dialogue for actors to say.
No.
It's dialogue in a high fantasy novel where you have misspelled everything to frustrate my autocorrect.
That's exactly correct. Yeah. Well, you will see that sometimes the actors don't quite pull it off.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it's a bunch of nonsense. And you see it in Star Trek all the time, where the guest star has to come on, and all they have is technobabble, and you go, okay. They didn't know that they were showing up to read this page of nonsense.
Yeah.
They should have been better prepared. It's like that, but with fantasy babble. About High Valyria, and the fucking...
Yeah, the Doom of Valyria.
Yeah.
And the King of the Andals, and...
And now they want to get loaded on some good Dornish wine.
Right.
And it's like, yes, exactly. All right. Yeah, it's not... you got to get the right kind of actor. Someone who either... the industry has completely passed them by and they are desperate, or they still are at the point where they can't negotiate a no-nudity contract. Like, where they really need the work. And so
right.
They'll just flop their tats all around out there.
That's right. They are going to be on this TV, even if they know for sure it's going to be tits out 100% of the time.
That's right. And really just flopping around, too. Like, really embarrassing stuff. Not tasteful nudity. Not the way Kevin Garnett would have it done. But
right.
Real just flopping around softcore porn boobies.
Yeah, so I don't know. I held off on it. Plus, you know the kind of guy I am. If everybody in the world is watching something, I want to be like, eh.
You're already bored of it.
Yeah, I'm already.
Yeah.
I already don't care. But then I couldn't sleep one night last week. So.
So you dove in.
I did watch the first episode.
You got to see some Sean Bean, so that's your reward, first of all.
So I like Sean Bean.
Who doesn't?
And I bought the Game of Thrones book, so... They announced they were making the series.
Yeah.
And everybody at my company who was a nerd was like, oh my god, I love those books. Those are the best books.
Right.
Then I was getting my tires changed and I walked down to Barnes & Noble when there was still a Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's Game of Thrones. And who's that on the cover? It's Sean Bean.
Sean fucking Bean.
And I'm like, alright, I'm into this.
Boromir.
The guy was sharp. The guy was Boromir.
Boromir of Triple H. Yes.
What do you need?
That was Boromir's land, right? It was Triple H.
Yeah, I think so.
He came from Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
So I started reading the book. But because I read the book...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Can there be such a thing as spoilers
no.
for season 1 Game of Thrones at this point?
Yeah, no,
don't
you
care.
You can spoil that.
I know he ain't gonna be in it forever.
Yeah, so yeah, he gets his whole head chopped off, which, by the way, you spoiled for me when I was watching season one.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
I was very surprised when it happened in the book, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have been surprising if I hadn't read, if I hadn't heard the spoiler from you.
Because he's, like, the main...
Yeah.
...likeable character in the book.
He's the hero in that first season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you're like, oh, well, I love Sean Bean, but he ain't gonna be in it, so who cares?
Right, exactly. And I never heard of anyone else that was in it.
You'd never heard of?
Maybe, Jesus, not Warwick Davis, the other one.
Oh.
God damn it.
Wow.
You know the one.
Dinklage.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That was, that made me sad when you said that.
I knew it was wrong. There's only
yeah.
two of them.
Can you tell that Dinklage is not crushing it on his accent?
Yeah, he's not. His accent is not solid.
Strangely, it does not improve. You'd think that doing it for many years, he would maybe get better at, but it does not get better.
You know, they got him to do voice acting for a video game not that long ago. Maybe Destiny? Maybe the video game Destiny?
Okay.
And apparently he did such a terrible job that... that it was all the internet was complaining about for like a solid 2 months was his very bad voice acting.
In this, his...
Maybe he just has a weird voice.
His fantasy British accent, because I can't say British, because none of the characters are British. But his fantasy British accent, it sounds like London by way of, like, Orange County.
I mean, a little bit, right?
There's some weird things that come out, and you go, oh, I think he's from the Valley. I think he's like a bro. What's happening?
Like he didn't go to a real accent coach. He had to go to a little person accent coach, and the other one he could find was Wee Man.
That's right. Wee Man's good, dude. He's respectable. I've heard his British accent. It's pretty good. I heard it on one of those Jackass bits.
He learned it from... He picked it... His accent coach was Bentley Farnsworth. What's that guy's name?
Farnsworth Bentley?
Farnsworth Bentley.
You were so close.
I was so close.
Yeah, you're right.
By specifically, I mean his accent was just a sound clip of Andre 3000 and Farnsworth Bentley talking to each other.
Saying good day, good sir, at
each
exactly. other.
Yeah. It's not solid.
It's not amazing. I don't know why everyone has to pretend to be British. You know, like, they're not British. Some of them are British, but a lot of them aren't, but they still feel like they got to put on an accent, and it does not super work.
And I feel like the requirements for this character are not... Like, most of what this character says, especially in the first part of the series, is... I'm short, I'm a freak, I know exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Whatever you are, they treat me just like that.
Right.
So, it's... All you needed was to find someone of small stature.
Yeah.
There has to be someone...
Who small
has an
and
actual
British?
English accent.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But, you know, it's an hour eater. It'll be good for binging, I imagine. Since you gotta go through six and a half seasons.
Oh, I don't know. I find that one is enough.
So you can't binge them.
Yeah, like, I did not. When part one ended, when episode one ended, I was not like, all right, time to jump into episode two. And when episode two ended, I was not like, episode three, here we come.
I guess the King's Road is not the most exciting part of the journey.
Well, I knew what was going to happen to that wolf. And that butcher's kid, I guess. The wolf.
The butcher's boy. Did you have any other Game of Thrones notes? Based on, how many have you seen now?
Two.
Oh, okay, so just the two.
Right. Just the two.
Okay.
I've seen two. I'm a little further in the book.
Well, that's right. You said
although
you
they mixed the order up a little bit in this, so like, I just got to the part with Daenerys that they are at in episode two in the book.
Right. Yeah, you
but
may have
that's a
trouble.
Little further along with the other stories.
You may have to read a little bit ahead to stay ahead of them because they do mix it around.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, aside from the thing I just said about Peter Dinklage, reasonably well cast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mostly nobodies, so that's easy. I don't love the casting of Jon Snow, but I know that the internet really likes him, so maybe he gets better?
Well, he's such a little brooding pretty boy. Yeah, I guess. The internet likes that a lot.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. The guy is tiny. He is an itsy-bitsy man. Bill Simmons, I think a few years ago, Bill Simmons met him at a party. And he was so sad because he's like, wait, are we entrusting the North to this guy? He's like 5'5". Like, people had to point out that he's not really in charge of the North.
That's true.
He's just an actor, Bill Simmons. He was very upset.
Who built that wall?
Yeah, who built it? Good question.
The North is Scotland, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Right, and that's why Sean Bean just has a Yorkshire accent in everything he does. Also,
I've been thinking about going back and rewatching The Lord of the Rings so I can see Sean Bean in the first one. I want to see him again. As Boromir of Triple H. What is the name of his land?
Gondor.
Yeah, Condor Man. I want to see Condor Man.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. His car could drive up like the sides of buildings and stuff.
You get his crazy dad Denethor at the end too. He's pretty good.
Denethor. Don't really remember that guy. Was he played by Sean Bean?
He mostly eats a tomato in a real nasty way and tells Faramir that the wrong kid died.
So good character work is done.
And in the end, he gets lit on fire and jumps off of the tower.
Oh, sweet. All right, yeah. But does did you say Faramir?
Faramir, he makes it through.
He makes it? Okay, that's cool. Good for him. I mean, the wrong kid did die, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I wanted to see... I thought I was going to get 3 movies of Boromir.
Faramir's the good one, because he doesn't try to steal the ring.
Hey, everyone tries to steal the ring a little bit. It's tempting.
He thinks about it. He's tempted.
Yeah, it's hella fucking tempting. It looks like a regular ring, but it just makes you...
He whispers at you and shit.
Whispers right in your ear about how you're big.
It's like...
You're so much
bigger. It's basically shadow tech.
You're so much bigger than the last guy it was with. That's what it whispers. And you're like, yeah, I don't know. And then it's like... Just come on, big boy, let's do it under the kitchen table.
Well, there you go. When it's not a Star Trek week, we don't have anything to talk about. But luckily,
I don't know
next week is.
I don't know what good sexy talk sounds like. I'm sorry. It's
I kind of don't want you to know.
Yeah, I'm not old enough yet. Someday I'll get to know what the good sexy talk sounds like.
Yeah.
Look, if we don't prepare a segment, then this is what it's going to be like.
It's rough.
We started off with an agenda, which sort of worked, and then we went to, like, big concept segments, and that made the show 3 hours long. So we got to find a middle ground, because we don't get enough mail.
We don't. Little concept segments?
Little concept. Small concept. Small concept specifically, Dinklage versus Warwick Davis, who is... Is it Davis?
It is Davis.
Yeah, who is the champion of small concepts. We watched Willow a couple years ago at a theater in Oakland.
It's not good, right?
Not only is it not good, like a third of the movie is reaction shots of a baby.
Right.
It just keeps showing Willow reacting to everything that happens. Throughout the entire story, and you're like, yeah, I don't need to see what the baby thinks of that. The baby can't think anything.
I don't identify with the baby in this story.
I'm not the baby. I don't go, yeah, the baby's gonna win! Like, the baby has no agency in this story. Yeah. It is just sitting there. So please stop showing me what the baby thinks when they all get turned into pig people or whatever. By the way, horrifying.
It's been a really long time since I watched Willow. I think I watched 10 minutes of it on TBS 15 years ago, and I was like, nah, though.
Yeah, still not ready. Someday I'll be ready to watch Willow, but not yet. Yeah, dude, if I had not been dragged to it, I definitely would not have been excited to see Willow.
Oh, yeah, I for sure would not go to see that in a theater. I'm not above going to see an older movie in a theater. I think the last one I saw was Raiders of the Lost Ark or something like that.
Hmm.
Which is fun. It's a nice, fun movie. But Willow, definitely not.
But it's got Val Kilmer.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Your
but
boy.
So does... I wanted to say MacGruber. Is he in MacGruber?
I don't know if I ended up seeing the MacGruber.
Who's the bad guy in MacGruber?
I don't know if I saw the MacGruber film.
Yeah, Val Kilmer's the villain.
Okay. Yeah, he got real melty after a while.
Yeah, he...
I think in the end...
Didn't, He didn't age as we would have wished.
I think in the end it comes for us all.
Oh, definitely.
I've been seeing a lot of melty people lately and going, oh, that's just a thing that happens to you. You get melty? Oh, boy.
Listen, for sure, dog. In that second Expendables movie, when Van Damme takes his sunglasses off, I straight up vomited.
It was not good.
It was very bad.
He put them back. Yeah, everyone in the theater was like, put them back on! Put them back on!
No.
Trying to help him, you know? Just trying to help him with his image. Gotta keep those on, VJCD, I think.
I think so, too.
It's Von Schlod. Jan, Sam.
I mean, MacGruber's worth the watch if it's on one of the streaming services. It's probably not.
Is it? What if I wanted to watch Willow again? Should I instead watch MacGruber or should I watch Willow again? We have to save the baby.
It's a real good question.
And they keep calling him Peck the whole time because that's what they call midgets in this fantasy world. They call him Pecks.
I guess you also have the option of just watching the episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they're making, like, Die Hard 5.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I could watch that.
MacGruber's almost that same idea.
I never finished the It's Always Sunny's. I don't even remember where I am. I'm in, like, season 5 or 6 or something. But I never got done with them.
I haven't finished them either. I haven't watched any of the last few seasons, but there's definitely a lot of it in there that's funny.
That's one of the shows that I have trouble watching a lot in a row of. Because they're all just so depraved and
they're very bad people. They're garbage people, for sure.
Yeah.
But they all go along with each other's schemes, which I like.
Yes, it is a good way to do a show. It's just that after like an hour of that, I'm like, I don't want to look at them anymore. I don't want to be around these guys for a while.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah. All right, go me. Points for me.
I award you points.
So if anybody can tell us who was the first one to dress like John McEnroe, it will be very helpful, because the internet has not given me any clues.
And I legitimately want to know.
Yeah, because if he invented that, he needs to get more credit for being a fashion visionary.
Well, like, they should call a terry cloth headband a McEnroe.
In fact, let's start right now. Let's be the first. Dave, did you see, we were watching that video you showed me, and Mark Knopfler was totally wearing a McEnroe.
He was. He was wearing a McEnroe. I think the other guitarist was wearing a McEnroe, too, but his was, like, white, and they didn't show him in the video that much.
Do you suppose he asks him if he can dress like him, or he just takes his cues, and, like, he sees him backstage, and then he runs back to the dressing room, and then...
What I assume happened was he was getting ready to go out there, no McEnroe.
Right.
Mark Knopfler said, wait a minute, went back to his dressing room, came back with a white McEnroe form.
Ooh. It
was already a little damp, which was gross.
Yeah.
But he just put it on him and he said, now you're ready to go.
And then did he feel like his rock
And then
powers?
He turned to whoever the drummer is and said, play twice as many drums.
Can we do a mockumentary where we reenact this entire show? And we get to play the characters in this?
I mean, if you'll edit it.
I'll edit it. You know I'm an experienced audio-visual producer. I'm a producer.
That is true. You did treat me this week to your edit of the Led Zeppelin song.
Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused.
Right.
It's one of the more memorable titles.
And
that it connects a little bit.
Led Zeppelin has many songs like this that I enjoy parts of a lot, and then there's a really long part that I absolutely hate, and so I never listen to the song.
Yeah, you did cut out 3 minutes of whale noises and bad guitar breaks.
That's right. And I've previously done this to Pink Floyd songs, and I, for a long time, I'd been meaning to jump in and start making some edits to Led Zeppelin's catalog, and that was my first go. For Led Zeppelin last week.
I think it worked well.
I think it worked hello. I've already listened to it like 9 times since then. So, who's
this
the
is
real
the three
genius?
Minutes of this song I like.
Who's the real genius? It's not Page and Plant. It's this guy. Right here.
I did then watch, there's a Yardbirds version of them doing that song. You can see that video somewhere.
Not the new Yardbirds?
No.
Okay. What about the four Everly Brothers?
Yes, the four Everly Brothers.
I love when people have the worst idea. hey, what should we name our band? Let's name it the name of a band that already is out there.
How about Better Than Ezra?
I like Better Than Ezra a lot, so let's be Better Than Ezra. It's like, no, they already exist.
Yep, that's a band.
You can't
How about Even Better Than Ezra?
Like, yeah, now I get where you're going, that you really like Better Than Ezra, but, like, are you even... Is your music going to sound like it? No, I just really like them. Okay,
how about Best Than Ezra?
That's right. This is what the Beatles were thinking. They were thinking exactly that sophisticated. Luckily, somebody stepped in and told them, no, be the Beatles.
Yeah, be the Beatles. Make your name a pun. It's going to make a lot of sense in 10 years when you're smoking drugs.
That's right.
And this George Harrison found a sitar somewhere. That you put the beat in your name.
Did you ever see that movie, That Thing You Do? Tom Hanks? Starring Tom Hanks?
No, I mean, I did see Walk Hard, Dewey Cox Story, but no, I did not see That Thing You Do.
Because they got that band, they're called The Wonders, but they spell it O-N-E, like one, yes. And then yes. Everyone's calling them The Oneaters. And I wonder if people call them the Beatles.
The Beatles.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, okay, let's just get out of here. This felt like a good old school one right here.
Next week is a Star Trek week.
Yeah, everybody. The meat of the show.
And we are watching, and I have not watched any of these so far.
Star Trek is the meat in the Judah and Matthew sandwich. I wasn't the first one to say it.
You weren't?
Yeah. John McEnroe was the first one.
Okay. Well, if it was Mighty Mac. Yeah. That's what I call him now, by the way. next week, we are watching Court Martial.
Mm.
The Arsenal of Freedom.
Yeah, we are, finally.
The Homecoming.
Okay. Cathexis, Part 2.
Non Sequitur.
Oh, okay.
And Detained.
Rogue Planet, Part 2.
So if you want to get even slight enjoyment out of next week's episode, you should watch those episodes.
Yeah.
Because it must be very bad if you don't.
If you do what Marjan does and not watch the episodes, I know she's seen all of them at least once, but there's no way she remembers them.
And we do a poor job of describing them. Mm-hmm. And the show's already 3 hours long, so, like, we're not going to dump a whole bunch of extra time into describing them.
That's right. We have to really choose wisely what we want to say if we don't want this thing to balloon up to 5 hours.
That's right.
Yeah, Marjan will just turn it on while she's doing lab work, and I can't imagine she gets a ton out of it.
No, but it occupies her time.
That's right. So that's what we're doing.
It lets her do two things at once, which makes her feel productive.
That's right, exactly. Tweet us about all the things. Every one of them.
We will read it.
At BrotherDate. Go to BrotherDate.com and... check out this episode that you're listening to, and go to the iTunes as well, because that's also where you can find this show. And tell your friends, I guess? Tell them.
You don't have to.
Tell your friends. Put a meeting on the calendar at 11:46 on Monday.
I already think my web hosting company is just lazy, and that's why they're not like, hey,
you're using so many hours.
You are uploading a lot of stuff, huh?
Do you know how many M's that file was?
Huh?
So many M's.
You can't keep uploading a gigabyte every month.
It is inappropriate.
It is outrageous.
It's immature, I think. You have a lot of growing up to do. And it's churlish.
It is. I actually do feel churlish, so. so anyway, whatever. Don't make me pay for a real podcast host.
That's right. And we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Did you say we started in September?
Yes.
So we've been doing this for 11 months?
Uh-huh.
And we're only through 19 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, if we were...
What did we do?
Were...